Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Reza Zulkapli dan ini Niaga Awani. Pada awal Mei, New Straits Times dan The Edge memetik Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif Kumpulan Berjaya Corporation Berhad, Jalil Rashid, yang syarikat berkenaan akan umum penstrukturan semula perniagaannya pada Jun. Ini dilapor untuk memastikan perniagaannya selari dan berjaya, dilapor akan turut menjual aset bukan teras. Jalil dilapor akan berkongsi pelan syarikat berkenaan dalam siri pengumuman yang akan dibuat kelak. Jalil adalah profesional pertama dari luar yang diambil untuk mengubah salah satu syarikat pelbagai perniagaan dan sektor yang terbesar di Malaysia untuk pulih daripada pandemik COVID-19. Dan untuk membincangkan berkenaan dengan penstrukturan semula ini adalah Jalil Rashid, Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif Kumpulan Berjaya Corporation Berhad. Jalil, thank you for joining us. Jalil, NST reported that B Corp would announce a reorganization in June to streamline its businesses and its plan, it plans to sell off non-core assets. Tell us more about this. After so many years of being in existence, have you and your team identified the core and non-core assets of Berjaya Corp?
Okay, so Berjaya Corp is really a conglomerate. Today, it's known as a conglomerate with a lot of businesses across different industries. And my priority over the first 3 months is to really define the group to be a lot more tighter. That means to really identify what sectors we want to be in and what sectors we don't want to be in. And as I spent time over the last 1.5 months, I've discovered that a good 90% of our business and our earnings are coming from consumer-related businesses. And that's really the direction I want Berjaya to be focused on, to be a diversified consumer group. So that's the first thing about definition. Second thing is about to identify the subsectors within consumer that we want to be in, whether it's retail, food, hospitality, real estate, which has all been our core, and anything which is perhaps not outside, and these are some the clusters that we have identified so far, and we will announce perhaps one more cluster. I reckon that we will have about 5 or 6 sub-sectors within consumer, that and anything else we may have to have a rethink about what is non-core. We have to go about identifying non-core carefully also as well, because some of these businesses have been within the group for a long period of time, and then we need to make sure that, you know, whether we want to sell it or we want to exit it, and what are the methods in which we need to do so. But I think the whole idea is that the group is vast, is diversified, and we need to streamline and make it a lot more leaner and more efficient.
But how will this exercise take Berjaya Corp into the future in terms of the vision? What vision do you have for Berjaya Corp?
So the vision is to turn it into a consumer group, and then all the companies that we have within the consumer bucket needs to be synergistic with each other, right? And my vision is that in perhaps about 5 years' time, when we put all these pieces together, we should have a seamless integration of all our brands. The brands that people consume in restaurants, for example, up to the time they go on holiday, to their loyalty card program, to the house that they buy, to the furniture that they buy, everything should be interconnected. So currently, these businesses run as verticals, as silos, and I want to integrate that so that at every point of the consumer experience, there will be somewhat a Berjaya product that will be consumed. And the key is really to make sure that we integrate that and get all the data so that we are able to run as one cohesive organization rather than a collection of multiple brands.
I think the NST said also quoted you saying that it's important to get the foundation right first. Is there something wrong with the foundation right now?
No, I think if you want to build a house, you need to make sure that the foundation is strong. And, you know, and as years go by, you need to kind of rethink whether, you know, the house that you're building is supported by the right foundation. And I think as we evolve in this company into what we want it to become over the next 5 to 10 years, there's a rethink that needs to be done about, you know, the way we use digital, for example, right? As we want to embrace digital, we need to change the back-end infrastructure. We cannot be running the business the same way, but in a digital error. So those are the foundations that I mentioned, you know, whether we are structured in the right way from an organization perspective, whether we are using the right back-end infrastructure, whether we have the software, which is the kind of people that will take us into the vision that we want. So that is what I mean by foundation. Because at the end of the day, Berjaya is actually an investment holding company. We are almost like a portfolio manager that owns multiple companies. We don't run the companies. So it is important that we have a good structure in terms of oversight of how these companies operate so that we reap the dividends when these companies do well. That is the foundation I was talking about.
Jalil, I think you mentioned 5 years earlier. Is this how long this reorganization will be completed?
I think some things can be done quickly. Identifying non-core assets is a process that can be done quickly. But to execute the non-core may take time, right? Because, you know, the market environment for some sectors right now is not necessarily good. And we want to make sure that the timing is right and we also get the right pricing. So the ability to kind of execute those sort of non-core may take time. Putting in the structure is something that we can do in the near term, within 6 months or so. But for that to manifest into results will take perhaps 1 year. We'll see some short results coming in 1 year, you know, some efficiencies. And then in 3 years, we should see a lot more of the benefits of the integration within the various consumer brands coming in. And over 5 years is when we see some structural changes taking place. So, you know, I always say that restructuring is a constant thing that needs to be done, you know, whether big or whether small, and we should never stop and say that we are done and complete. It will come in phases. You know, and I reckon that our financial year is June. So the next financial year, next year, June, we should see some small improvements in the initiatives we are putting in place.
But what will this mean for shareholders? How will they look at this new organisation and this process that you say some will probably take a shorter time as opposed to the other parts of the reorganisation?
So in the past, if shareholders were to buy Berjaya Corp shares, they are essentially getting a collection of various businesses. And I guess in the past, somewhat the resistance towards Berjaya was that, you know, we had so many businesses, it was very unclear for shareholders to kind of ascertain what is Berjaya. Are you a consumer company? Are you an industrial company? What are you, right? Which is why earlier I said it's important to get the definition right and to really put ourselves there as a consumer group. And what this would mean is that investors getting into Berjaya will have a clear exposure to consumer-related businesses. And those businesses will be organized along clear verticals, be it hospitality or retail or food or whatever other verticals that we have. So it is really to be really very focused to say, hey, these are the subsectors that we want to be in. And if we ever were to grow, it will be within these subsectors. So it's very clear from a definition perspective. So we're giving that clarity to our shareholders. So that they can then evaluate and decide whether the company is heading in the right direction.
Jalil, were your different businesses affected by the pandemic and will they be affected by MCO 3.0? How badly were they and will they be affected?
Yeah. So different effect in different businesses. So, you know, our food business has been... has done quite well since MCO was lifted. People have started coming back and consuming in restaurants simply because the interstate travel has meant that people now have to stay in KL and spend their money in KL. So that has done quite well. Our hotels have been quite weak, predictably, over the last 1 year because we're just getting mainly weekend crowd doing staycations. But a lot of our hotels in other parts of the country and also overseas are affected because of the travel restrictions in place. So that, amongst all the business, the hospitality business is the most affected. And then the other businesses have different levels of effect. Retail still is okay because people are still buying the mass market consumer goods. Food goes up and down, but you know, delivery is still quite strong. So hospitality is the outlier for us.
Are you happy with how the pandemic is managed so far?
Well, I think it's a difficult situation for everybody, right? On how to curb movements of people. I think if I were to put the business hat on, and I think everyone wants the borders to reopen, but that would be a very irresponsible thing to do right now. It's just finding that, I think, like many things, the right answer is somewhere in the middle. And whether that is from a tourism perspective or not, we just need to find that right balance. My view is that the pandemic is something that will linger over our heads for some time. You know, I don't think there will ever be a moment we say, oh, wow, this thing is over and we can go back to our normal life. I think we can go back to some sort of normalcy, but with restrictions for some time. So I think that is perhaps the starting point of where we need to approach this problem.
Jalil, we'll take a short break. When we come back, let's talk about your mandate. You are the first group CEO from outside the Tan family. What is your mandate and what's the biggest challenge to fulfilling that mandate? We'll take a short break. We'll come back after this. Bertemu kembali, kita bersama dengan Jalil Rashid, Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif Kumpulan Berjaya Corporation Berhad, membincangkan berkenaan dengan penstrukturan semula Berjaya Corporation dan juga melihat kepada mandat yang diberikan kepada beliau sebagai seorang Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif dari bidang profesional yang pertama daripada luar keluarga Tan. What's your mandate, Jalil, and what's the biggest challenge to fulfilling that mandate?
So when before I took on this job, I spoke to Tan Sri Vincent for 8 months. You know, we interacted a lot over the last 8 months, where I was advising him on his various businesses, and then it was a process over several months of him trying to convince me to join the group, and we had to get comfortable with each other. So I had a good understanding of the Berjaya Group. And I think one of the things that I told Tan Sri Vincent was the need to institutionalize the firm and professionalize, put in the process, the structure in place, so that the firm is not based on one individual. It is based on systems. People can come and go, but the business will remain. And then Tan Sri can be purely a shareholder and let professionals run the business. So that is the aim of that professionalization, institutionalization. The biggest challenge would be that movement, that the cultural movement from a family-run company to the institutionalization. Right? And that will take time, which is why I said structure, process is very important. And getting that culture going as well is important. Right? It's a slow program. Like how you, to your earlier question, you know, what can be done quickly, what can be done slowly. Culture change would probably take a bit of time, as people need to get used to the new style of working, new processes, and internal working. The other challenge would be from the corporate side of things is really untangling the group and making it leaner, and just remaining focused on the core businesses that we have identified.
Jalil, you mentioned style and you announced immediately after your appointment that you wanted the official attire to be batik. Why did you think this was a key announcement that you had to make back then?
Berjaya is one of the largest Malaysian companies, right? It's been quite synonymous in the Malaysian scene. And I always feel that it is important for any companies to have a culture and identity, right? And for a Malaysian company, I feel that we need to anchor ourselves on something Malaysian, and it's really what we wear. And I'm very proud of it. I'm very keen to support the batik industry, which is why we changed our official attire to batik. And I think for me, that was a way to encourage people to think Malaysian, that, you know, we are what we are, and let's encourage a lot of our local brands and local small businesses. And when I look at it, there's a lot of opportunities that we can give to local businesses, you know, like, for example, our front-facing hotel staff can be wearing batik, you know, there's no need for them to be wearing suits in this climate. And that was really why we wanted to do that announcement, to just to show that, you know, we are a Malaysian company and we support the Malaysian industries. And going forward, we will continue doing this in other aspects, you know, in terms of the goods and services that we procure. You know, we want to go down and do it with a lot of local and small businesses.
And again, when Tan Sri Vincenta was made the non-executive chairman of B Corp, your share price went down, but Tan Sri Vincenta said that this redesignation is in line with his vision to transform the B Corp group into an institutionalized corporation managed by professionals. What happened during that period?
So I think we can't control the share prices. Right? Mm. You know, if I can control my own share price, I'll be a very, very rich person right now. I think it's just the market getting used to the fact that the company is going through this massive change, right? This one person who has been at the forefront of the company for decades is stepping away into a non-executive role. And so that transition is something that people are curious about. It's a transition that people want to understand better. So I have engaged with a lot of our shareholders and investors in that period, trying to explain what are the steps that we're putting in place and what that would mean for Berjaya Corp in the shorter term, medium term and longer term, right? And that's just a quite expected reaction as the company makes these transitions. So what will really be a challenge for me that I have taken on is to then now show the success of that over the next 1 year or so to show that these changes are yielding the necessary effect.
What values do you think you could bring as a young CEO to this iconic organization?
So I think a lot of it is stemmed from the multiple experiences that I've had in the previous jobs. I used to, when I was working in Singapore, I used to run our global consumer group. Mm. So I'm quite very familiar with consumer businesses, especially along the retail, food and hospitality line. And I've seen good and bad restructuring as well. Mm. And what has gone right, what has gone wrong. And I think my appreciation for digital and good governance and a lot of things that we've done in the past is very useful because it's very synonymous with the initiatives that we're trying to undertake right now. Mm-hmm. And I think most importantly, it's a fresh pair of eyes and just to be able to look at things a lot more objectively and say, yes, this worked, but it may no longer work. So we need to have a rethink. So that objectivity is actually very key.
And people talk about ESG these days. Is this important for B Corp? What new areas will B Corp explore to take care of its stakeholders?
Yes, ESG is very important. But when we talk about ESG, it's important to break it into three, right? The E, the S, mm-hmm. and the G. So on the E, the environment side, we do a variety of things according to the different sectors that we are in. But there is a need to kind of perhaps have a much more overarching policy. You know, what is it that we stand for in the environment? What are we going to do, with all our operating companies? We need to define that a lot more tighter, and we're currently working on that. Mm-hmm. On the social side is that, you know, what is our social impact, right? What is it that we want to achieve? And on the governance side is something which is a bit more related to corporate and the restructuring that we're undertaking, which will involve putting in place a lot more robust processes, you know, in terms of oversight from the B Corp side. Mm. You know, these days the ESG is an important component for a lot of shareholders. A lot of the larger ones are attaching a lot of premium and importance, and some of them say, we're not going to invest in you if you don't have an ESG policy. So it's very important for us to come up with our own policy, but I want to make sure that it's not overly prescriptive because at the end, we do have a lot of companies that are very unique in terms of how they operate, mm-hmm. and they should be left to craft up your own ESG policy. We just need an overarching policy to kind of say, this is the direction we want to go in, and we'll let them define how they want to get there.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of stakeholders, Will your employees perhaps go through a process where they are let go during this transition period, during this reorganization period?
No, I don't see that happening. Simply because, you know, we have been quite tight with our employee count over the years. We're not a firm that has unnecessarily increased our headcount during the good times. And so I don't see that as a big cost burden for us. Mm-hmm. I think where the biggest cost savings can be done is having better synergies within the group. You know, things like shared procurement. You know, can we share procurement across the various businesses that we have and bring down the total cost? Yes, we can. Can we share perhaps a technological infrastructure? And bring the cost down, yes, we can. So I think that is where I am looking at in terms of cost rationalization rather than the people aspect of it.
So, Jalil, you currently hold about 3.38% of B Corp shares. You made the latest acquisition on May 3rd. Tell us, why are you doing this, and will this continue until you reach a specific target?
There's no target in mind, but when I took on the job, I had told Tan Sri and the board that I want to be a shareholder CEO and I don't want to be an employee CEO. And I think that's a very important alignment that needs to be done, right? So when I speak to shareholders, and if they are upset about share price not doing very well, I tell them, look, I feel it too, because I'm a shareholder. I feel it too. So if the share price goes up, I am happy with all of you. If the share price goes down, I am as frustrated as you. So I think there's a good alignment of interest. And then I am motivated in the right way to kind of think along the same lines as other shareholders as well. And I think that is why I'm doing it. There's no target in mind. My latest acquisition was done because the share price has been quite weak, and I want to also make that as an indication that I feel that the group is very undervalued, and this is an ability for me to pick up shares a lot more cheaper.
Jalil, if we can talk about the Better Malaysia Foundation, when will you start building these affordable homes that you've been tweeting, discussing on Twitter? When will you start building these affordable homes?
Yeah, so when we came up with that initiative, you know, we expected a lot of very varied responses, and we did get that. The whole idea was to create a discussion platform via Better Malaysia to discuss on the issues of affordable housing. Now, one thing that I have to make clear, this is not something that, you know, Berjaya is going to go out there and build millions and millions of houses, right? But it is, the initiative is done under BMF so that we can invite a lot of other developers, you know, financial institutions, and act as a facilitator to find a solution to the problem, right? But we also realized that, I personally realized that, you know, wearing my role as Berjaya Corp CEO, that it is important that we have a proof of concept. And I want to do that proof of concept for our own staff. And we are now currently identifying some land where we can have our first small development, that we will open it up to staff. And you know, building housing in Malaysia is a very technical thing that involves a lot of approvals from multiple stakeholders. So once we have done that, and we are currently in the process of doing that, once we have done that, we will open it up to staff first. And I think once we have done that, we can then show, hey, look, we have a model that has worked, that has been taken up by a number of people, and then hopefully that would be a catalyst to then for others to take that idea and commercialize it, right? And the aim for BMF is that if a lot more people get into this and fine-tune that idea and make it better, we are very, very happy, because the idea is that we want more people to be able to own homes. We have taken on board some of the comments that have been given. So thank you very much for all the comments. And the team is having a look at to see where are some of the weaknesses of the earlier plan, and we will make it better.
And also, I think many people were confused about the whole scheme. Do you think this needs to be communicated better by also the various parties involved, say banks, construction companies?
Yes, there needs to be a lot more clarity. But, you know, when we came out with the statement, it's to say that We have given this some thought, and one of the biggest pain points was the product. So we were showing the possibilities of how the product can be for a family that has a lot of children. We also took into aspect the social aspect of housing, right? You know, and it's not just a place for you to live, but if you have a comfortable place which is private, it does bring down social ills. It does make performance in schools better, and then that leads to a better workforce and everything. So we looked at the entire chain of development, right, from the time the family grows up, the environment, the social aspect, education, and everything. And that also involves a lot of discussions with a lot of stakeholders as well. We will clarify it as time goes on. We are currently speaking with some of the financial institutions who have approached us after the announcement to say they have some ideas on how we can fine-tune the financing initiative. And also, we are now trying to organize a meeting with all the other real estate developers to kind of say that, you know, can more of you come on and support this initiative.
Have you received, briefly, have you received any interest so far from the other real estate developers?
Some of the smaller ones have reached out to us and said that they have ideas, but we're now trying to organize a meeting via the association and to see what have they done and whether their pain points are also similarly shared, because a lot of them operate in various areas, and then different areas have different sort of issues. What our consideration is that we should be building affordable housing in more urban areas and not far away, so that the cost of commute is considerably reduced. In order to do that, we must make sure that the product is well maintained and it's well thought through, so that it can coexist alongside other developments, pretty much like what Singapore has done with HDB, where HDB coexists alongside all the other developments rather than being banished away somewhere far and having somewhat of a stigma as affordable housing. So that would mean that building better connectivity towards public transportation and also getting a lot of the support of the government as well, because these lands would typically be owned by them. So it is, and then to see how we can then bring the cost down even further. But the product needs to be good, and we personally want to make sure that the whole stigma of affordably priced housing is taken away, and that people can live in a very nice looking development.
On that note, thank you very much, Jalil, for joining us. Itu tadi Jalil Rashid, Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif Kumpulan Berjaya Corporation, bincangkan berkenaan dengan penstrukturan semula syarikat, hala tuju syarikat serta sedikit berkenaan dengan projek perumahan mampu milik yang dikeluarkan kenyataannya oleh Better Malaysia Foundation. Ini adalah Niaga Awani. Ikuti info terkini berhubung vaksin COVID-19 di halaman Mikro Interaktif di astroawani.com sekarang, dan segala maklumat lain dalam astroawani.com, juga aplikasi Astro Awani. Terima kasih kerana menonton saluran berita paling dipercayai di Malaysia. Saya Rizal Zulkapli. Salam hormat.